Would that all people of the Lord were prophets. Just before today's first reading, if we back up a couple of verses, Moses comes to the realization that he just can't do it all on his own. And he trusts in the Lord to work through other people. He realizes, okay, maybe this can happen. You know, the Lord's given him a lot of blessings and a lot of responsibility, but he's seeing that it's just way too much for himself. God wants to carry out his salvific plan, his salvific work through each and every one of us too. That's his whole plan. He doesn't just do it through a few. And nowadays, instead of Moses, we might say, oh, through the Pope or through bishops, through priests, deacons, nuns, etc. Not just through kind of these select few priests and religious. His Spirit has indeed come to rest on every single one of us. Through baptism, his Spirit rests upon us. So Moses says, would that they all be prophets. Would that the Spirit of the Lord rest upon them. That's happened. We're called to do this. And of course, it's going to look different for each and every one of us according to God's unique will for each and every one of us. Therefore, these different expressions, they shouldn't simply be discarded if they're not in line with the mainstream. We see that in both the first reading and the gospel. This young man comes to Joshua and says, hey, these two guys, they weren't there when the Spirit came, but they're prophesying. Better shut them up, right? Similar thing, John comes to Jesus and says, hey, this guy's over there, he's healing, but he's not part of our group, so we better kind of silence him, right? That's not the way it works, as we're being taught here, and we probably know from our experience. So we don't have to match the mainstream. The Lord calls us in unique ways to go and to carry out his salvific work. As long as this work comes authentically from the Lord, then there's no reason to be suspicious, to be jealous, or to be worried about what others are doing, even what we're doing, if it happens to be a little different. But then, that kind of begs the question, how does one become an authentic prophet of God? Well, as I mentioned just a few seconds ago, through baptism, we all become priests, prophets, and kings in the Lord. We're baptized into those wonderful ministries of our Savior. But we can't stop there. Not at all. We need to fight against the tide of our own concupiscence and the wiles of the wicked one every single day. We always have to fight against it. We've heard a number of testimonies that give witness to that. We need to seek holiness each day so that our prophetic calling can be used to build up and to redeem the world, to participate in Christ's redemption, I should say. We don't redeem, Christ redeems. But so that we can build up and participate in this redemption, not to break the world down, not to tear it down. In today's gospel passage, Jesus he's teaching us about this. He's kind of warning us about taking this wrong path. Whoever causes one of these little ones in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Yikes. I don't know if that gives you the shivers, but it kind of does with me. You know, the stakes are high here. These aren't child's games. We have a sacred obligation to use the gifts God has given us for the benefit of others. That's why he gives us these gifts, to enrich us so we can enrich others. Yet, if we don't take this obligation seriously, we will lead others astray through our bad example, and sometimes more explicitly by encouraging sinful behavior. Just, you know, think of the first 30 years of my life, as I was talking about yesterday. Wrong direction. To further discourage us from doing this, Jesus uses a bit of hyperbole. He doesn't literally mean, okay, you'll lop off your hand, lop off your feet, you know, poke out your eyes. I'd be a blind paraplegic if that was the case, right? So he doesn't literally mean that. He wants us to get tough on sin, to stop using our hands, our feet, and our eyes to bring ourselves and many others closer to eternal ruin, perhaps without even realizing it. It's so easy for us to get desensitized to sin. And we have to fight against that. Now, the wisdom of the world says, oh, come on, it's okay. Don't be a prude. Just have a little fun. Come on, those Catholics and that medieval stuff. Come on. And anyway, Jesus will forgive you, right? You can go and have a little fun, go and have a little sin, and then just go to confession, right? Jesus will forgive you. Don't go there. That's the terrible sin of presumption. That's a horrible sin. We should never go there. Instead, seek conversion. Cultivate a humble and contrite heart and yearn for what is above, not what is below. This is how we make it to heaven. And it's the best way to live life here on earth too. So what will your preoccupation be? What are you gearing your life towards? The riches, pleasures, and comforts of this world? Well, if that's the case, St. James has some tough words for you. And I won't quote him, but we can. He's obviously pretty direct about the love of riches, right? Being preoccupied with these things, it's going to corrupt your heart and your soul. And that's going to lead to corruption and misery around you, too. That's what James is getting at. And can you hear the echoes of St. Paul's famous line from, it's from 1 Timothy chapter 6. The love of money is the root of all evil. You can see an echo here between James and Paul. To be sure, there's nothing wrong with having money and other good things. I mean, God gives us some of these things, right? They just can't be your priority and your preoccupation. That's the key. Enjoy them in and through the Lord who bestows them on you in the first place. And then God will be your preoccupation. He'll be the center of your life. Then you're going to live life well. And whatever goods and riches, whatever he gives you, you're going to be sharing it with others. And you're going to be enriched yourself. That's the right way to live. In today's responsorial, the psalmist beautifully illustrates this proper disposition of heart with God in the center. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. Now, this is beautiful stuff. Notice the precepts of the Lord don't lead people to walk around and be miserable, have hunched backs, you know, like it seems like people indicate that's how those faithful Catholics live. No, they refresh the soul. They give wisdom to the simple, joy to the heart. That's what God's words and what his teachings give us. And notice the psalmist has a very deep and humble respect for God's word. The psalmist continues, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Now, think fear here is a deep love and reverence and respect for the Lord. It's not like, you know, crawling under your chair, kind of terrified fear. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Cleanse me from my unknown faults. From wanton sin, restrain your servant. Notice what the psalmist is professing to the Lord here, that he or she, whoever it is, cleanse me from my unknown faults. I don't even know him yet. This is the concupiscence within us that leads us into sin sometimes. Before I even know about these faults, cleanse me from them, Lord. I want to be pure in and through you. And then from wanton sin, so these are sins that we choose, restrain your servant. So this person is not running from the Lord, but running to him and seeking to avoid sin, not to get away with it, you know, kind of sweep one under the rug, so to speak. Brothers and sisters, would that every single one of us become prophets of the Lord, just as the Lord desires. He yearns to do wonderful, amazing things through each and every one of us, far beyond what we imagine now, far beyond it. He wants to blow open our spiritual lives and our current ministries to bring the good news to the many people in our community, especially in our community. We're talking about our young people, many of whom are lost and searching for meaning in their lives. Will this be uncomfortable? Yeah, no doubt. But it will also be astonishing and exciting. Just remember what he's done with me. You know, look at my track record. Look what he was able to do with me. It took me a while to finally wake up to what he wanted to do. But, you know, I'm having a great time as a priest. This is just a beautiful life that he's given me. And, you know, I wish I wouldn't have been such a knothead for so many years. But, you know, it is what it is. But finally kind of woke up and now I'm just living this wonderful life in and through the Lord. As I mentioned yesterday, if he can make a priest out of a sinful wretch like me, I guarantee he can do wonderful things with you. And another thing to keep in mind is God's calling for you to become greater doesn't somehow mean that there's something wrong now. It doesn't mean that that you're a failure. It doesn't mean just because he's calling you to something else. What it means is he wants to build upon your successes. He wants to take all those riches that you've cultivated through his grace and build them up all the more. Remember, we haven't used this terminology during the retreat, but we said similar things. You must be evangelized before you can evangelize. I think, Ben, somebody might have said you have to fill up the cup before you can pour it out. It's the same concept there. And as you walk the path of conversion, you will see this greater vision of God with increasing clarity and rejoice in it. It won't be as intimidating anymore that he's calling you to something else. It certainly is going to be difficult and uncertain, but it'll be welcome to you because you'll see the beauty of it, of where he's going with this. So be not afraid, brothers and sisters. Trust in the Lord. He's the only one who is always looking out for your good. Always, in every circumstance. So let's walk together on the only path to peace and joy beyond all understanding and watch God transform us and our campus community along the way.